All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're good.
Welcome to episode 273 of the DFO Rundown. It's brought to you by Betano.ca. Where? You got to find some odds here. Let's get some odds on will the Oilers break the NHL record. Their next four games, Chicago, Nashville, Pittsburgh, that's who's got the record, Vegas and then Anaheim to break the record. Of course, they have a 10-day break in between due to the bye week and the NHL's very good game that goes in Toronto this year. But you can bet on a full slate of games Thursday night. And of course, the conference finals in the National Football League, Baltimore, KC, San Fran, and Detroit. Who do you like? Place your bets at Betano.ca. I'm Jason Greger. We welcome in Frank Saravalli. Frank, how you doing?
I'm sorry. I can't take you seriously today with that hair.
Dude, I can't. Try living with this.
It's not just that it's like you've got the cul-de-sac going, and this is one of the last days that you have to keep it before you can go back to bicking your hair. But it's that you also got like a little bit, since we're doing this early in the morning, you got a little bit of sleep hair in the back right.
No, dude. That's how it is. It's not like it doesn't. I have to really wet it to flatten it down, dude. It's awful. It's like puffy on both sides.
You look like a high school principal.
Yes, I know. Any terrible look. Yeah, it's what I look like. It's brutal. It's a
high school principal in the middle of a science fair.
Oh God. Yeah. I look like a little bit of a mad scientist who's like, if you want to age yourself 20 years, it's just like when I have my toque on, you know, I look younger than I am. Then I take this off and I look like I'm 65. Like I could go right now and guaranteed I could get the seniors rebate at any store that I walked into.
Hey, let's not talk about aging ourselves. I win.
Yeah. Well, you know what, but people are dyeing their hair gray now, Frank.
I don't get trend. It.
Like there's a lot. I know you're not, but you could just say, no. Some people might be like, oh, look, he's into the new age gray. That's, you know, a lot of ladies are dyeing their hair gray. You could just be like a trendsetter. Trust me. This is not a trend that anyone's setting. Like, I know there's some guys who walk around like this, good for them, but oh my goodness, I don't know how they do it. Like,
take it to the wood, buddy.
Like, dude, I don't think the lights have been on in my bedroom for 2 months. I can tell you that right now. So it's not great, but it's almost done. So got to be a man of your word, Frank. I don't back out on things. So not like Mad Dog Russo, who claims he'd quit if a team loses. It's cheap. Don't make claims you're not going to follow up on. So
just refresh everyone. If you're listening to this pod and weren't in November, you bet that if the Oilers lost to the Sharks, that you would, who did not have a win at the time, or just got a win.
No, they had won their first game the game before, funny enough.
And so you bet that if the Sharks beat the Oilers, you would not shave your head for a period of 6 months. And then,
yeah, and by the way, yeah. And now, first of all, it wasn't a bet because it was a promise, because in a bet, you would get something if you win. I got nothing had they won the game.
See, that's kind of problematic for you. Like, you kind of backed yourself into a
corner. Well, it was really just a comment. It was just a statement. I was like, hey, Oiler fans, it was on the Monday. I said, they're going to lose in Vancouver tonight because the Canucks are playing way better, but then they'll start winning because they play San Jose next and they're awful and they're going to beat them. And so, well, how confident? I said, dude, I'd grow my hair out. That's how confident I am. And so the only saving grace was that if the Oilers ended up going on a 5-game winning streak at some point, it would get cut down in half. Too bad there wasn't something for a 10-game winning streak.
Yeah, I was going to say, 14 games. Come on, you could have got your money's worth.
Yeah, so, it was more just a promise, a statement off the cuff that turned horribly wrong for myself. But
you were let off the hook in 3 months, mercifully comes to an end.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday. This is the last rundown, and, you know, next week you'll be aerodynamic again.
Oh, but I can't wait. Every time I walk by the mirror, it's just like, phew. No thanks. So it's like
every
I'm Kramer.
I walk by that mirror. He's like, who is that predator?
Yeah. Honestly, like you'll forget sometimes and you wake up and just like, oh my God, like what is happening here? So I can tell you the only person happier than me is my wife. So
I bet.
Oh, geez. Yeah. It's not.
That's most days when you go to work too. So
yeah, potentially. It's true. So yeah, it's not good, Frank. Now let's get to some things that are also not good, but on a much more serious nature. The NHL is connected, of course, with four players who have asked for leaves of absence, as they will most likely be reporting themselves to the London police, stemming from sexual assault allegations from 2018. And it sounds as like charges are coming, Frank, and there's, you know, this is going to become a criminal investigation now and go to court.
Yeah, so I just want to be careful with how you phrased it. Like, a lot of people are making the connection to the players that have taken the leave of absence and what's happening. The reporting from the Globe and Mail that five players from the 2018 World Junior team will be ordered to surrender to police to face charges for sexual assault. You know, there are likely connections there, as you mentioned, but not entirely convinced that all of the players that have taken a leave to this point are all connected to it. So, you know, just be careful of who, you know, people want to paint as what is.
Yeah, no, it's fair. That's why I didn't say, you know what, it's taken a long time for this. Like, obviously, you know, you read the reports that it's, you know, they feel like after a lengthy year-long investigation by the police that they can, you know, they can press charges now and go further. And so,
yeah. So we're in a holding pattern right now is basically the story, because short of some groundbreaking, everyone wants to know the names, right? Like that's what they want to, like, for whatever reason, that's how our society works. They want to know the names. They want to know what happened. Everyone wants some answers. And the truth is, until the London Police Service comes out and formally says who's charged and for what, we really don't have anything else to go on aside from whatever casual links that anyone wants to make. Because, and everyone has asked me, well, why don't you just say what you think? Well, no one has told me directly X person is getting charged. Someone that would have direct knowledge, either from the London Police Service, a source there, or a source that's connected to one of these players. No one has been willing to say it. And in fact, NHL teams are in the dark, and they've been told, the players have been instructed by their legal counsel, if they have it, to not even tell their NHL teams what's happening and what they know. So there's a lot of sort of gray area here that people want answers that, frankly, like, I'm not in a position from reporting to give them. So that's just the background, and we're waiting until February 5th, unless there's some groundbreaking reporting where some outlet somewhere is willing to jump that line and comfortably say it, that it's going to take until February 5th, the day after All-Star weekend in London, Ontario, for the police to come out and shed some light and some information on this investigation that's been going on for, it's actually since 2022. It goes back like 18 plus months.
Yeah, I would recommend there's, you know, there's some, if you want to have some good stories to read, you know, Robin Doolittle has a very good article. Obviously, you know, many years ago, well, not many years ago, I think last year, Katie Strang at The Athletic, along with Dan Robson and Ian Mendez, had a really in-depth investigative report that didn't name names, but, you know, talk to you know, the women involved and what had happened earlier that night, and then what had you know, the allegations coming from that side of what occurred. And it's doesn't sound like a pretty story, Frank, who's ever involved when the names come out. And it will be something that to me, I know people will say, oh, hockey culture, sure, and hey, I don't discount that, but I also think it's a little naive because people don't want to admit that it's a societal culture. Let's be honest. You sexual assault in North America has not improved at all. When you look at a lot of the other issues in our society that we've at least made, you know, we become more aware of racism. We become more aware of bigotry, and we've talked about it and tried to improve. It's not perfect, far from it, but there's been steps. If you look at the cases of, you know, how many girls, 1 in 3, how many boys, 1 in 6 are victims of sexual abuse, it's not going down. And that is a societal issue, no question. Hockey's a part of it. Hockey has to look at themselves and start there for sure. But this is a much bigger issue. And you would hope that, you know, stories like this garner more attention, and it, you know, leads to more people coming forward, because this is, it's an ugly part of society that no one wants to talk about, because very few people want to even, like, when you read stories about what some parents do to their own children, grandparents, dads, moms, uncles, sisters, friends, teachers, media people, like, nobody's excluded. There's no walk of life that's excluded from these horrific events. And I think
the NHL sweeping it under the rug?
That's the response
I get from the league on Wednesday. Guess what? They issued a statement saying how gleefully excited they were about the expression of interest from Salt Lake City. But I didn't see one word about 5 players who are either NHL players currently or NHL property that are connected to a case that has frankly gripped the country of Canada and has seen lots of reporting and interest. Why would it be so hard to send out a statement that says we abhor sexual assault? Any of the 5 players that have been connected to this case, provided that they go through a due process, and if they are found guilty, you know, we will hand out punishment accordingly. And until then, all of these people connected to it, whoever they are suspended indefinitely and can reapply for admission at a later date. Why is it so hard to send a strong message? And instead, what we get is a coordinated PR campaign from the NHL with Salt Lake City announcing their interest a mere 27 minutes after the Globe and Mail story comes out.
It was embarrassing. And I didn't even
address it. How dumb do they think we are? Yeah. Hey, let's serve up a platter of red meat to hungry hockey fans who are frothing at the mouth to get information about players who were involved in an alleged gang rape.
Yeah. Like
let me just answer this other part of it, because I got this a lot in social media. Okay. People were saying to me, well, how do you know that the Salt, like, since when does the NHL control press releases that come from the Salt Lake Entertainment Group?
Well, they made their own statement from the NHL.
Well, no, but hold on a second. How do we know how this system works? Well, because I've been in it for 15 years. So nothing happens. If you want to join the NHL, you've got to play by Gary Bettman's rules. Jim Balsillie has a whole list of examples of things to not do to get an NHL franchise. And the first part of that is to step out of line at any point during the process and do something that the NHL, or say something that the NHL doesn't want you to do.
Yeah.
So to think that The Salt Lake Entertainment Group, led by Ryan Smith, billionaire Ryan Smith, who owns the Utah Jazz, to think that they would issue their own willy-nilly press release pleading for the NHL to initiate a formal expansion process is lunacy, to think that the NHL wasn't involved in that, let alone the fact that they had their own response to the press release shortly thereafter. So they were well prepared. So now let's take it back a step further. So then, Frank, how do you know that the NHL had knowledge of what was coming in the Globe and Mail? Well, because myself and a bunch of other reporters were asking questions on Monday once Carter Hart, or Tuesday once Carter Hart was taking his leave of absence.
And Dylan Dubé.
And I will say that at least one of the players who is believed to be involved in this process had notified his team that he, quote, thought something was coming as a result of the investigation, who then, of course, passed it on to the league. So the league was well aware. Salt Lake City was well aware. And congratulations to Ryan Smith. You just demonstrated to everyone how badly you want to have an NHL team, because you were willing to be a pawn in covering up sexual assault.
Bingo. Bingo. That is, if you want to see where they view things, that's where their stance is. Actions speak louder than words, and that was the action they chose to take. It's absolutely revolting.
So let's take it a step further, okay? And say, well, you know, why would the NHL do this? Like, wouldn't any smart, you know, business or organization try and change the narrative on a day that it's an ugly one for your business? Yeah, I think there's some that would, but I don't think that's how the NBA would operate. I think Adam Silver would have been out there making a strong statement against sexual assault. I don't think that's how some other professional sports leagues would work. And more than that, I think it's a pattern that we've seen here that's extended for far too long, whether it's been the NHL's response to Pride Tape, whether it's been the NHL's response to the Chicago Blackhawks sexual assault and how casually they handled that after saying for more than a year that there was no merits to a lawsuit and that there was nothing to it. And then they sit down for a casual Zoom conversation and get filleted and don't call on a reporter that had done the bulk of the work. Every single time, regardless of whatever the social issue is, the NHL is stepping the wrong way. And some would say, well, then why were you disappointed? Because that's just what they do. And the answer is because it sends a message to a much broader community that we are more interested in image, profit, everything else, compared to actually addressing an issue that many would say has run rampant in this sport more than others for far too long.
It to me illustrates exactly why I've said that I think it's time for a change of leadership, because that's Gary Bettman's style of leadership. It is. It doesn't change. That's what it become. Talk all they want about, oh, the owners should be happy. Yeah, great. The owners are happy. But your league's moral compass is broken under the guidance of Gary Bettman. It just is. And you just outlined the reasons, Frank. This is not an opinion. It's based on actual facts and how they respond to issues that are non-hockey related, human issues that impact a lot of their fans, probably impact many of their employees. I'm sure if they went around to NHL employees and found out how many of them at some time had been sexually abused, they'd be stunned. Now, like in most cases, a lot of people don't want to talk about that, but it just shows you where they stand, and it gets worse all the time. And it was, I didn't even want to address the Utah thing yesterday.
Yeah, how about all the jackals that are out there reporting on and doing more on Utah yesterday? Oh, yeah. Well, we've got other people that handle sexual. Like, you are contributing to the problem.
You are 100%. And guess what? They're not close, right? Do you think Utah's coming in September?
Yes, I do.
In September?
Yeah, I think the
Arizona's
going to move there. I think the Arizona Coyotes are relocating.
Okay, but I meant as an expansion team. So this
no,
is
no, I
is
think they're relocating.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So yeah, like it's not an expansion team. They'll be coming as a relocation.
That's what I think. And I've thought that for weeks and or months. Tyler's heard me say it multiple times on Daily Faceoff Live that
it makes sense.
The clock is ticking on Arizona. Some people believe that they had until January 31st to really present the NHL with a full plan of here's the exact date that steel and shovels are going in the ground. It's not to say that Utah is an illegitimate story. That's not what we're saying at all. It's actually a huge story and one that we'd normally pay attention to. It's just that everyone can see, everyone feels like they need to take a shower after seeing what the NHL did yesterday to try and erase or sweep under the rug what they knew for 2 years. If this ended up coming to fruition with regards to charges, that it would be a really ugly time for the NHL, not just for a day, but for a period of time until this case is adjudicated.
Yeah, man. I don't think, you know, it's going to be quick when you look at these cases, Frank. And you know, I've talked to people who've worked on sexual assault cases before. It can take a long time, and it is going to be. I think when details come out, people will be disgusted by what happens based on
been a lot of reporting that has revealed a lot of details. So
it's not going to be a pretty one, but I really hope, you know, I hope the NHL takes a look in the mirror and recognizes that, okay, how we acted does not represent what our fans and people who are close to the game really want. Sponsors, I would think the same thing,
but they're not thinking that today. Like we know enough to know that they're like, because I'm saying what I'm saying, or because you're saying what you're saying, that I'm a bad guy. That's what they're thinking in there today is how, why would he say that? I know that's what they're saying.
Yeah. Wow. That's disappointing to say the least. So
that I'm the bad guy. 'Cause I'm pointing out what is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's how it works. Anyone who doesn't fall within our line of thinking or see it exactly how we see it or goes against anything that we do, they're just bad people. That's how they look at it.
So Frank, quickly, and then we'll move on to some other things. Do you have a timeline on when you think they would need to announce that they're relocating the Arizona Coyotes?
Well, they've got lots of time for that. It wasn't until late May that they announced the Winnipeg Jets were moving, or Atlanta Thrashers were moving to Winnipeg. It was May 27th, I think. So that's just purely from memory. So it's somewhere in that range, sometime in May, that they made the announcement. I think ideally they'd love to know sooner so that prep can be made. But like, obviously these two sides are in communication and in cahoots. Like, If this is happening, Ryan Smith and his group have already been prepped. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to get in order. And no doubt, read very carefully what the press release says. They are ready immediately. It says in there, they are ready now for an NHL team that they can play temporarily at the Delta Center, which is home to the Jazz. It's not ideal. It's got one of those situations, just like in Brooklyn or downtown Phoenix, where it's a basketball first arena and you'd have to have a whole one end of the rink basically be dead because the seats can't overhang. But it's a temporary solution that brings far more fans than Mullet Arena does. And then you'd have a permanent facility coming in into Salt Lake ahead of the 2034 Olympics, which sounds far away, but you could probably, if you get the Olympic bid, you could probably get that thing built by 2026 that, you know, would put Salt Lake in a spot to have a fresh new hockey arena and a new team to play there.
Yeah. Well, maybe when they make that announcement, we'll flood them with sexual assault story.
I'm never going to be able to shake that feeling. No. I'm sorry that Ryan Smith and your team, show me how bad you want one. I'm willing to do anything you want, Gary. Just tell me.
Yeah,
that's it. And you know what? Someone asked yesterday, what What do you think that the relocation fee, how different is it than an expansion fee? And I said, I don't know what the difference is, meaning historically relocation has been way lower, but we don't even have anything to properly compare it to because franchise values have exploded so much. It's going to be expensive no matter what. But I said, I hope at the end of the day that they knock a few bucks off for the gross feeling that they must have had being connected to all of this.
Yeah. Nice.
Hope you get a 5% discount on that fee.
Yeah. Well, moving over to some things that are good, Frank. I think it's been interesting. You know, there's been some talk the last few weeks regards the Hart Trophy.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And if you look at Nikita Kucherov and Nathan MacKinnon, it's two guys just going back and forth with knockout punches. Kucherov has a hat trick, 4-point game. Nathan MacKinnon's like, oh yeah, I'll go with my second 4-goal game. Only Merrill Lemieux is the only guy ever in NHL history to have more in one season. He had 3-1 year. So that's 2 4-goal games this year for MacKinnon. He had a 5-point night last night. They spanked the Coyotes. And my goodness, Kucherov and MacKinnon. Honestly, I think it's a two-man race right now. I don't really think there's anybody else close who's worthy of what those two are doing right now.
I'm with you. I don't think that's what people would say in Toronto because I've already been asked isn't Austin Matthews the front runner for the Hart Trophy now? And my answer is look, he's on track to get to 69 or 70 goals. Nice. But like we went the first 6 to 8 weeks of the season talking about William Nylander being this team's MVP. I'm not saying Matthews isn't worthy. I'm just saying how do you go from not being the MVP of your own team for the first 6 weeks of the year, given that that's half of our sample size so far, and then now he's the MVP of the whole league? I think we already went down the path. This is my personal opinion. We already went down the path of because Austin Matthews got to a gaudy goal number that he deserved the Hart Trophy. That was a year in which Connor McDavid set new career highs in goals, assists, and points. And didn't win, and far outpaced the rest of the league in points. And yet, I'm not saying we got it wrong as voters, because you can't. There's no such thing as getting it wrong when you have a democratic process like that. But does a gaudy goal number, like if he gets to 70, does that ensure him the Hart?
No, not even close, right? You look at the year he won. Now, funny enough, Nathan MacKinnon, when he won, since 1950, Frank, the lowest in the scoring race a forward has been to win the Hart has been sixth. Gordie Howe did it way back in 1960. Mark Messier did it. You had Austin Matthews in 2022. And I'm missing another one, and I'll try to get it. I got it on my sheets here somewhere. I did the whole research on it, and I was like, okay, because I'm like, he's 12th right now. Like, he was sixth in 2022, and he was 15, 17 points behind McDavid. He's already 25 points behind McKinnon. And he's like, Nathan McKinnon might score 55 goals, right? Probably more. So I'm sorry. It's not even a conversation. It's not worth having. It's Kucherov and McKinnon right now. And really, it's not close. There's no one else that's close today. Now, somebody can get on a heater, and we'll see. But if you have 77 or 69 goals and you end up with 100 points, but the guy's leading with 137, I'm sorry. Being 8 more or 9 more goals, the other guy has that many more points. It's just, it's not good. And then look at Colorado. And, you know, McKinnon is already almost, you know, I think it's 17 points ahead of Rantanen. But then no other forwards are close on that team. Like, by the definition of most valuable to his team, Nathan McKinnon, like, Nylander's got more points than Matthews. So if you're talking most valuable to his team, yes, he scored goals, but Nylander's been involved in more points. So he's been involved in more goals, and that's just on his own team. So, no, I honestly, I don't really think it's – I guess the competition will be to see who's the third finalist. I guess that's the conversation. But right now it's Kucherov and McKinnon, and they're in a category of their own, those two.
Okay, so I was listening to your show yesterday, and I know you mentioned that the fact that McDavid is on track for 33-ish goals and 120 points, 33 is a pretty big drop-off from 64. And I understand why, because the Oilers have been really successful this year, 14-game winning streak, 8-game winning streak, just since their coach took over, that's I understand why that's healthy. But do you have any concern at all for the fact that McDavid's only on track to score 33 after scoring 64?
Well, if you look at it, he's on pace to have 100 fewer shots than he had last year. He's not shooting the puck as much. The funny thing is, if you look at actually chances generated when they're on the ice, like, they're killing it. If you go to puck IQ, which calls like high danger chances for and against, they're at like 68%, which is almost 70% actually, which is almost unheard of. Hit the Hyman McDavid line. Like, they're killing the opposition. They're not giving up any goals, right? Offensively, I think the good news is he could, you know, because it's McDavid and he could easily go on a run here like he has before in his career. But I think the good news for the Oilers is they're winning all these games without Connor McDavid, you know, carrying them on his back, where he's having 3 points every night or 2 points every night, right? Basically like what McKinnon's doing right now, right? Which is great for McKinnon. But the Oilers, you know, have had 10 different guys score game-winning goals in their streak. I would, like McDavid, I've seen too many two-on-ones or right in the slot where he's passing up. So he doesn't have the same confidence shooting the puck this year that he had last year. I think that's obvious. You just look at the amount of shots he's taking, the amount of shots, you know, he's not taking in key positions. But having seen that change before, I think it's good. But to me, the Oilers shouldn't be concerned, because even when McDavid scored a lot, Frank, they ultimately weren't winning because they were giving up too much, right? Their team now has eliminated the gift goals for a long period of time. It's not just a 14-game winning streak. If you go back to their last 31 games, right, they have been much, much better defensively. Stuart Skinner's playing very well in goal. They're not giving up a lot of chances. They've given up the second fewest high-danger chances over that time, right? And I think that's what's more important in Edmonton. Edmonton's had McDavid, you know, going nuclear for 3 years, and it didn't result in them going as deep as they'd want in the playoffs. Now their team is actually scoring, like, they've averaged 3.87 goals in their last 30 plus games. They averaged 3.96 last year, but the difference is it's more balanced up and down the lineup. Like, Fogle and McLeod, this is probably my favorite stat, over a 14 game span, they're first and second in 5-on-5 points on the Oilers. Fogle and McLeod.
Well, that's the true mark of health, which is why I was saying it's not a negative for the Oilers. It just, you still want McDavid at the same time producing at the all-world level that we're used to. Like, the fact that he is 24 points back of McKinnon and he has half the number of goals as Sam Reinhart, like, it's an interesting spot. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, no, it's fair. Now, games played make a big difference, right? He's played 7 fewer games than McKinnon, right? The Oilers have played 5 fewer games than the Avs. So that gap will close just because, let's say he keeps at his pace, which is, you know, 1.5, right? So he gets another 8 or 9 points. He'll still end up with, you know, 120 points.
That's what he's on track for.
Yeah, that people will look at 120 and be like, well, it's not, you know, for the mortal, that's a great year. But for McDavid, it might. But to me, it's more so about their team defense. And I'll say that, like, the Oilers talked about, you know, McDavid, hey, I don't want to win. I don't need to win the awards anymore. I want to win cups. And so I think that's the bigger focus. But he does need to shoot more when he's in good scoring positions. I think that's a fair assessment to say, you know what, you're on a 2-on-1, you're in the middle of the ice, you're wide open, just shoot a few more. And I think you'll see that, Frank. We saw it from him the last few years. Like, the last four seasons, every year he's increased his shots on goal. This is the first year in 4 or 5 that he's actually seen a decrease. So I think eventually he'll probably start picking it up a little bit more.
So if you're one of those guys that likes to go on Betano and you like to bet the futures of the trophy, and we can have Tyler share the odds in a minute, I'll give you one more reason why, not just like his play alone speaks enough for it, but I do, and I hate acknowledging this as president of the Professional Hockey Writers Association, but I do think it's a real thing, so I have to mention it. I do think that there at times is voter fatigue. They, like, people look for reasons. Oh, well, you know, we hear this all the time with the Norris Trophy. It's just his turn. And it's like,
yeah,
that's absolute nonsense. First off, what does that even mean? So we need to give it to Quinn Hughes this year because it's his turn. Like, not saying Quinn Hughes hasn't been great, but if you're like, ah, well, Cale Makar he's won. So, like, you know, let's just give it to Hughes if they're neck and neck. Like, that's not really how it works.
No.
And it shouldn't work that way. But my point is, I do think that voters at times, if McDavid was right up there, they look for, you know, someone fresh, someone new. And the fact that Nathan MacKinnon hasn't won one yet, I think that probably really helps him overall. If it is neck, if it's a coin flip between MacKinnon and Kucherov, bet on the guy that hasn't won one yet. And Kucherov already has a heart. So,
yeah, it's funny. Like, I can only talk for myself as a voter. I only vote on that year. I remove everything else because that's
you should. That's how it should be
about that season. And right now, it's MacKinnon and Kucherov, you know, where their teams finish. Then you have to look at a lot of other things based on the wording of the rule, right? Award, not the rule, excuse me.
That's well, and that's a big reason why I typically do not have two players from one team that factor into my top five. How could you be the most valuable player in the league if you're not even the most valuable player on your own team? You've already determined that someone ahead of that player on the ballot is the most valuable to the team.
Yeah.
By nature of where you just put him.
It's fair, except if you have two players that are just so ridiculously better than everybody else, then it can make, because it has happened. It's been rare, but we've seen two players from teams be finalists before. Jagr and Lemieux did it. So it is possible, but this year there's no one. I don't see two guys from one team that I would have as really strong candidates to be in the top five voting.
My only question is, when, like, how good must a goalie be to factor into your heart ballot? Because
I think they got it. To me, it's not so how good he's been, it's how many games does he play. When Dominic Hasek won it, he was playing 72 games. You could be great, but if you only play 55 games, you're missing over a third of the season.
Yeah, Hellebuck is on track for 62.
Yeah, I don't think it's enough. That's just me, though. Like, I think, because the MVP, you got to be a vet, because that means 25% of your team's games, you had zero impact in. Zero.
Yeah, but of the 75% that you did play, you had a 90-plus percent impact on the end result. Probably. That's the only thing about the goalie position, is that if we really were talking about most valuable, a goalie would win every year.
Maybe. Like, you look at quality starts that goalies have, and then you look at quality games that players have.
I don't even like the quality starts stat. I really don't.
Okay. Why?
You only need to have 88.5% to be qualified.
What, an 88.5 save percentage?
Yeah, that's if you have less than 20 shots, it's a save percentage above league average, or at least a save percentage 88.5 on nights with 20 or fewer. That's the stat. So all you have to do is be above league average and you get a quality start. Like, that's a bullshit stat.
No, it's true. So, but here's the thing. So if you're going to say that Hellebuck, because if you compare Hellebuck to Demko, right? Demko, they both started 34 games. Hellebuck's 23-8-3. Thatcher's, Demko's 25-8-1. Demko's
Demko
actually
leads
faced
the league in shutouts.
Demko leads the league in shutouts. He's actually faced 44 more shots.
So one additional game's worth.
Right. And he's got a 922 save percentage to a 925 for Hellebuck. Now, goals against is where Hellebuck's better. And goals against, I do think, matter. 2.17 to 2.44. So, like Hellebuck and Demko are close. Like, for Hellebuck, for me to be ahead of McKinnon then I look at their season, Frank, and I say, okay, let's look at Hellebuck's year. How many goalies have had similar seasons to him in the past, right? If Nathan McKinnon gets you 135 points, like, you haven't had a lot of guys do that. Well, really only one in the last 25 years. How many goalies have a 925 save percentage in the NHL in 55 games? So to me, it's good numbers, but not enough that would put in the
I think it's pretty elite with how much these save percentage they've plummeted.
Yeah.
The league average save percentage is down. Like, it was, you know, when I first started covering the league, it was like 908, 910. It's down to like 899, 900.
Yeah, there's more goals. Yeah. No, that's fair. Tyler sent me a note that four goalies this year have 20 games played with a save percentage above 900. Hellebuck has 23, Demko 22, Stuart Skinner has 21, and Sorokin has 20. Like, it's funny, like, Stuart Skinner, Frank, his first seven games were so bad it grossly skews his numbers. But as the season progresses, you know, that becomes a smaller percentage of his overall numbers.
You're getting the opposite for Cam Talbot.
Oh, yeah. So
unreal through the first quarter of the year. And since then,
well, that's the
below average. And now you look at his numbers and they still look pretty good. It's like, oh, he's got a 913 this year. That's decent.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, you're right. There's two guys crossing in the night, right? As far as the path upwards and the path down. And that's symbolic of the LA Kings. I don't think there's any team that's been more disappointing than the Kings the last 2 months.
I think the Golden Knights would give them a run for their money, but the fact that the Kings are mostly healthy is pretty problematic.
Oh, God.
I mean, how about them just absolutely spitting the bit last night against the Buffalo Sabres?
Yeah, it's not
up 3-1, lose 5-3. Like,
yeah. Well, Frank,
the game was over 5 minutes into the third period, it felt like.
Yeah. In the last 2 months, Vegas is 14-10-4, 32 points. LA is 11-11-6, 28 points. And, you know, they've only won 11 of 28 games. The Coyotes have at least the Knights have won half. And you're right, they've been banged up with injuries. But, like, yeah, it's the LA Kings, man. Like, they got to turn things around. And I don't know if, like, because defensively, all of a sudden, they're giving up way too many goals. Pierre-Luc Dubois is on milk cartons all over California right now. It's not a good time for the Kings.
Yeah, Todd McClellan, not happy.
And nor should he be.
Also calling out Mr. Dubois.
Yeah, it's got to be better.
His money quote last night is so unreal, though. Todd McClellan, quote, "The stupidity that went into this loss is beyond explainable." Beyond explainable. Yeah. We got a 3-1 lead tonight and guys start thinking it's a cookie night and we stop playing the way we know how to play.
Yeah. Now, like, honestly, like, the Kings are in a position now where you thought it was like a no-brainer, easy, that they were going to make the playoffs, right? It was like, they're a lock to make the postseason.
They're still a lock to make the playoffs. Still a lock, I'm telling you right now.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Tell me who's any good.
Yeah, that's fair.
In line for that eighth wild card,
like,
spot.
The Blues,
Kings, just need to be conscious for like a 2 week stretch.
It's the Blues. The Blues actually have, you know, some decent players on
their team. It's not the Blues. They're not good.
Well, they got more wins than the Kings.
I don't care. They're not good. That team's all over the place.
Yeah. Wow. I'll just say this.
Win one, lose three, win two, lose four. Like, that's the Blues' whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're on a win three, and at some point they'll lose five, and they'll be right back down where they were.
Yeah, well, that's what the Kings are.
Which is floating in the ether.
Yeah.
I know statistically that the Kings are close to being out. I'm just telling you, all they need to do is wake up for a two-week period of time between now and April, and they will coast into the playoffs.
Yeah, you could be right. But they're falling out. You know, they're going to have to wake up if they want to stay in the Pacific race. Otherwise, they're just going to be destined as a wild card team.
How about the old Patrick Waugh bump?
Well, yeah. Well, they're in Montreal tonight. That'll be an emotional game. And you know what? The Islanders actually, they lost to Vegas, but they actually played quite well tonight.
I know. But the thing is, I just listened to what the players are saying, and they're like, wow, so much more energy, so much more positive. You can already tell he's making a huge difference.
Yeah.
And some of that, you know, what are they going to say?
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I can't stand this guy. I totally don't like him.
No, but I think the energy part, like, I think that's a much needed shot in the arm there.
Yeah. Hey, let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk to the pod. Ty, how you doing?
I am doing good, gentlemen. Ready to go with a new edition of Buy or Sell delivered by DoorDash. For a limited time, our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and use the promo code NATION25. If you're watching the show on YouTube, you can see it up at the top of your screen. Maybe you want to take advantage of the new Double Dash feature. It allows you to add a second restaurant onto your order without any extra delivery fees. So guys, maybe you're in the mood for pizza, but the wife wants Thai food. Now you can both get your wish without paying extra fees. It's great. It's a win-win. All right, let's get into things here. Our first question is brought to you by the NHL Coaches Association, guys. And they're wondering, are coaches finally safe? Will we get another coaching change this season, or are we done? Frank, buy or sell on seeing another coaching change this season?
Not actually brought to you by the NHL Coaches Association. I can envision no, getting not. A call later today. Is everyone safe? Sorry, I'm not ready to declare that just yet. I'm not. I mean, if you think about where we are in the season, it's still pretty early in terms of making coaching changes. And I think the biggest one that's outstanding right now is the Ottawa Senators. Come on, man. You got to hire a permanent head coach. Like, I'm sorry. Your record with Jacques Martin, your process, your structure, all the things that you said you wanted to do, I'm not seeing it. I'm totally lost watching this team. I think it's no better with this temporary coach. And I think you're doing your entire franchise a huge disservice by letting this linger. I'm not saying that means just hire anyone. If you have your sights set on someone in particular and you're saying, oh, well, we're going to wait until that person becomes available, that's a different story. But for right now, you must make a change.
Yeah, I have to sell as well. I still think there's possibilities out there of teams. I still remember when the Devils fired Fatorik late in the season, man, and they hired Larry Robinson, and they went to the Cup and won. So we've seen guys get fired in the first seven games. Heck, we've seen coaches get fired in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks of the season. So
that was four games left in the season.
Yeah. So don't you know what? It's a tough job, man. It's the job security is not great. And I know you get compensated pretty well, but still. So unfortunately, I wish all the coaches were safe, but I can't say for sure.
And I'll say, too, the other one that stands out to me is New Jersey. Yeah. I just think watching that team, it looks disconnected. And look, we've seen multiple assistant coaching changes there the last few years. I'm not saying something's up, but that's a team. Yeah, they've had some serious injuries, and I think it's fair to say some serious roster construction issues, but that's one other team I'd put on the radar. There's at least if we're thinking Top Gun radar, there's at least a blip out there somewhere for the Devils.
All right, I got a couple here loosely on topics you guys have already hit on, but you talked about the MVP race and goalies. I'm not going to say a goalie will win the MVP, but I will say a goalie finishes as a finalist for the Hart Trophy this year. Buy or sell, Gregs?
Sell. I think there's lots that are very close in the Vezina, and I don't think one's going to stand out clearly against the rest to separate themselves.
All right. Frank?
Can you ask me the question again? I got a text I was reading.
A goalie will finish as a Hart Trophy finalist this season.
I'm going to sell. And my guess is for some of the reasons Jay mentioned, I just think someone, whether it's Matthews, whether it's McDavid, whoever has a huge second half is going to bump any goalie that gets votes. Because I think I think you're right, Jay, in having the conversation that the way we view goalies breaking onto Hart Trophy ballots, like it has to be a really high threshold. Because, as I said, if not, you'd be giving the award to a goalie every year.
David Pastrnak. Don't sleep on Pastrnak.
Yeah.
He's having an unreal year in Boston.
Tyler, dude, not to put you on the spot, but at Betano, do they have skills competition odds?
No, I don't see those. I am on the
what kind of serious D-gen is into skills comp odds?
Are you kidding me? They should have it. This is going to be the most watched.
Dude, that's like betting on preseason football. You're not entirely sure how hard everyone's going.
The roster. This one, you know, this is the best of the best. I think they're going to want. I think there's a healthy competition
there. I'm jacked for this skills comp. Like, I think this is going to be the best one we've ever seen. But the reason I thought of that is because of Pastrnak, and I was like, we did a draft the other day on dailyfaceoff.com. of who we think, you know, we did like a snake draft of who you would select to win the skills comp. And I think I was like the fifth or sixth pick. And so, like, you know, like McKinnon's gone and McDavid and all those guys. And I was like, Pastrnak, Kucherov, like, tell me why any of these guys wouldn't be winning the skills comp.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the great part about it. Like, and because you don't know what skills they're going to pick. So that's what's going to be interesting.
All right. Also, just quickly, you guys talked about Hart Trophy odds. They do have them up at Betano. Nathan McKinnon has moved into the top spot at plus 100. So even money, those are the same odds Connor McDavid started the season with to win the Hart Trophy. McDavid's now third on the list at plus 325. Kucherov sandwiched right in the middle there. So those are your futures odds on the Hart Trophy. And I'll wrap up with this one, guys. You got me into the futures page over at Betano. And I'm looking at the odds to make the playoffs, and I'm actually a little surprised by these. So Betano has the Nashville Predators, who are holding the eighth seed right now. They're plus 180 to make the playoffs. But Gregs, I'm also intrigued with a team you talked about, the St. Louis Blues. They're 4.5 to 1 to make
the Salt Lake City Coyotes. Sorry.
The Salt Lake City Coyotes, or I mean, who knows? They're 6 to 1 to make the playoffs. So let me just, this one's a bit of a weirder buy or sell, but I'll just say, give me one team in that race that you think you'd be intrigued on their odds, and maybe a team you'd like to buy on ahead of the playoffs. I already told you Nashville, St. Louis, and Arizona, but Frank, is there anyone else in the race you think you'd like to buy a little share in heading down the stretch here?
Or into what the are the Kraken?
The Seattle Kraken are.
And what are the Penguins? +275.
The Penguins?
+275. And then who else is in that mix? Like, what are. I think the Wild, the math just doesn't add up, not with the injuries that they have. But what are the Flames?
The Calgary Flames to make the playoffs are plus 320, which is wild that the Flames have worse odds than the Blues, and the Blues are currently ahead of the Flames by a little bit in the standings. Like, the Blues might be the play at plus 450.
Oh, dude, they are.
I think they are, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I just... I the toughest part about calculating all of this and doing it right now is I think there's a realistic chance every single one of those teams sells off pieces at the deadline.
Yeah. Yeah. That is fair. Greg's, you asked about the Penguins. They're actually in the minuses. They're minus 139 to make the playoffs. So I would imagine some public money probably pushes that a little bit. The Penguins probably a pretty popular team for people to bet on. But yeah, the St. Louis Blues plus 450 to make the playoffs. That might be the play over at Patano. But that is a wrap on this week's edition of Buy or Sell, delivered by DoorDash.
All of the casuals are like, Sidney Crosby, that guy's amazing. Betting the Penguins, heavy, make the playoffs.
Wow.
I don't know. What other explanation can you come up with it? I mean, I don't know. There's nothing to indicate to this point in the season that the Penguins are going to make it.
No. Well, and what do they do with Jake Guentzel? That's going to be the interesting part.
Got it. You have to move him. It's not even a question. If you're out, you have to move him.
Yeah. All right.
How do you not? You don't even have your own first round pick this year. You traded it for Erik Karlsson.
Yeah. Well, Frank, I just want you to know, you heard it here first. The St. Louis Blues are they're getting in the race, baby. I think I would not count out the Blues to make the playoffs. So okay. They've been quietly quite good here for last month or so. So the interesting, and I'm not sure they have a lot of obvious tradable pieces either, right? I think they'd like to trade some of their D, but a lot of big term there. So that's why I think they might end up keeping them. And, you know, Robert Thomas and Kyrou have really started to play well. They were their leaders last year and they're coming on offensively. So
what do you think the Blues chances to make the playoffs are right now on hockeyviz.com?
Oh, 38,
19.7. They are slightly ahead of the Minnesota Wild.
What are the Preds at?
The Preds are at 33.
And the LA Kings?
The Kings are at 85.
So they
as I said to you before, the Kings are more or less a stone cold mortal lock to make.
Oh, they have seven teams there, and then Nashville's eighth, obviously.
Yeah, Nashville 33%, Seattle 27%, St. Louis 19.7%, and Calgary 19%.
Now, I don't know. I haven't looked at St. Louis's schedule. Maybe they've got a bear of a schedule, but.
And the Penguins are at 55%, which, in line with what Tyler was saying, 139 minus 139 is not all that different than 55%.
Yeah. I guess. I'm looking at the Blues schedule right now because now I'm curious. So they've got their next three games are Seattle, LA, and Columbus, and LA the way they're playing. So you know, not great. Buffalo, Montreal, Nashville. You know, they play the Oilers twice, Winnipeg and Toronto. They don't have a bear of a schedule, at least just yet. I'm looking Devils, Boston, Colorado. Yeah, they don't. I'm telling you, I am. I'm jumping on the Blues as my pick to surprise people.
19.7%. Let's go.
Very competitive. So you know, and I like to put my money where my mouth is. I put a little.
Literally, you put your money where your hair 20, is.
20.
How's that working out for you? Maybe you shouldn't volunteer stuff like that.
Well, that was a dude. It was just a comment. It was, you know what? Just a man of my word. I hate it, but thankfully, it's almost done. Frank, have yourself a wonderful weekend. We will chat with you on Monday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.